Off the Ball Daily.
A home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
That Man United-Arsenal rivalry was incredible. And the way it developed that stage, they get the one league title. You have Ronaldo in there, you have Rooney in there. I think it was incredible, really.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
Rugby Daily on Off the Ball.
Welcome to Tuesday's Rugby Daily. My name is Richie McCormack. On the way, Munster balance bad injury news with that of a new arrival from Ulster. The IRFU have given Ulster a further dig out on the coaching front, and Leinster are in the hunt for a Wallaby prop. First up today, the news from Munster is plentiful, with Billy Burns' long-mooted arrival finally confirmed by the province. The out-half has agreed a one-year deal at Thomond Park, having made more than a century of appearances for Ulster. Burns, who turns 30 in June, will effectively replace the Bordeaux-bound Joey Carberry in the Munster squad. Two Munster forwards, though, have signed contract extensions today. The evergreen John Ryan will be 36 in August and has put pen to paper on a new one-year deal. He's made 13 appearances so far this season. 12 years his junior, Keane Hurley, has also agreed a one-year extension. Hurley graduated from the academy to the senior setup last summer and is at home in the second row or the back row. Offsetting the contract news at Munster today is the realisation that Ollie Yeager and Finian Witcherly may have already played their final games of the season. Munster say both must see specialists, with knee surgery a possibility for the forward duo. Alex Nankivell is a doubt for Friday's URC trip to Swansea to play the Ospreys, as he observes return to play protocols after suffering a head injury in training. But Simon Zebo, Jack O'Donoghue and John Hodnett are in contention following respective knee and finger injuries. Craig Casey and Jeremy Lockman also add to Graham Rowntree's options after their Six Nations involvement. New interim Ulster head coach Richie Murphy has strongly hinted he'd be interested in staying with the province in the long term. The Ireland under 20 boss was installed as Dan McFarlane's successor for the remainder of this season. The season resumes on Saturday with a game in Durban against the Sharks. Jacob Stockdale, though, has been left at home by Murphy. But Rob Herring returns from the elbow injury that forced the hooker to miss the Six Nations. Ireland squad members Ian Henderson, Tom O'Toole, Nick Timoney and Stuart McCloskey are included in the squad travelling to South Africa. Despite an under 20 world championship on the horizon for Ireland this summer, Richie Murphy told the media today he'd like to remain in Ulster for the long haul.
Yeah, I'm very interested to stay. You know, all these things over the next couple of weeks will sort of come a little bit clearer. We haven't had those discussions yet, and you know, but it is definitely something that I'd be interested in doing. I've been already looking at places to live in Belfast. The buzz in training today was really good. Competitive nature of the lads was there to see. You know, both teams really going at it and really trying to test the team for the weekend. So, you know, trying to, I suppose, nurture that, create a competitive environment where young players and old players both are competing for the jersey. And if we can do that, I think we'll have a positive impact on the rest of the season.
Murphy has also seen his coaching staff at Ulster augmented by Ireland scrum coach John Fogarty. He is also a short-term appointment and spoke today to Ulster Rugby TV.
A couple of weeks ago, I got asked to help out with scrum, and it was easy to say yes to. Such a brilliant pack of forwards. There's incredible experience within the group, and yeah, it's really exciting to be here. And that's pretty much it. I'll be helping out with scrum.
Will it be on a very like ad hoc basis? Be popping up and down?
I'm hoping to. We'll see over the next couple of days. Get a good idea of exactly what's going to be required. Mondays, Tuesdays are big days here in Ulster Rugby. So when it comes to prep, so definitely those 2 days, and we'll see what's required after that or what's needed as we go.
And then you're heading to South Africa with the team. How much are you looking forward to that?
It's so exciting to get away with the group. I know quite a few of the lads from over the years, and it'd be good to get to know the wider group. Also to go to South Africa and play rugby, it's an amazing thing, particularly with scrum. The Sharks and Stormers, Oxneish, one of the best loose heads in the world, Mbongi, there's some incredible players, so it'll be a huge test. But from what I'm seeing here, there's a huge appetite to go and do something meaningful, you know. So it's very exciting to get over there, and let's see how we go.
Wallabies prop Taniela Tupu has emerged as a transfer target for Leinster. According to the Australian Telegraph, Leinster are offering €570,000 a year for the tight head. Leinster will see Michael Alaalatoa move to Claremont in the summer, while their NIQ ranks will be further depleted by Jason Jenkins' move to the Sharks. Tupu has a contract with the Melbourne Rebels and Rugby Australia to the end of 2025, but he could be freed up if the Rebels' €20 million in debt forces them to fold. Tupu has 51 Wallabies appearances to his name and was part of their unsuccessful squad at the World Cup in France. Jacques Nienaber was pleading the fifth when asked about the Tupu links.
Look, to be honest, obviously Mikey is a was standout. I've only worked with him since December, but he's been a standout guy for us, and he's a very good team guy, and probably a rock for us in the scrums, and fulfilled his role well, both on and off the field. So yes, to get somebody in his place, I think it's definitely something that Leo and them will look at. But in terms of that, I won't step on their turf. That's their baby. My baby will be this week to make sure that we get ourselves ready for Zebra on the weekend, and then going into the Bulls and to the knockouts of Europe. So that they will, I'm sure they will work endlessly behind the scenes in getting the right guy to replace Mikey, because he was very important for us.
Bundiaki's contribution to Ireland's successful Six Nations campaign has been recognised with his shortlisting for Player of the Tournament. Aki recorded the most metres carried with 380 and the joint most line breaks in the tournament with 4. The centre is joined on that shortlist by England number 8 Ben Earl, versatile Italian back Tommaso Menoncello and Scotland winger Duhan van der Merwe. Voting is open to the public via the Six Nations official website until 11 p.m. on Sunday. Neither Aki nor Finlay Beelum will be rushed back to Connacht action following their Six Nations involvement. Connacht resumes Six Nations action at home to the Lions on Saturday. They'll do so without Oisin Dowling, who has been ruled out until mid-April due to ankle surgery. John Porch and Shane Bolton are due back in the coming weeks and in early April respectively, following knee and ankle injuries. Mac Hansen is due back from his shoulder problem at the end of April, while Santiago Cordero could feature in the final round of regular season URC fixtures. Attention turns to the Women's Six Nations this weekend, with Ireland's campaign starting on Saturday in Le Mans against France. With Ireland in receipt of the wooden spoon for each of the last two seasons, you have to go back to the final round of fixtures in 2022 to uncover Ireland's last win in the competition. However, they're under the fresh stewardship of Scott Beaman this year and have seen 7 stars Bevan Parsons, Eve Higgins and Evan Riley, among others, made available this time around. Ireland forward Emer Corrie spoke to Off the Ball Stephen Kisby-Green ahead of this weekend's trip to France.
Obviously, you've got France first up in Le Mans, away in France. Have you ever been over to France before?
No, I've never been. The girls have kind of been talking about it a little bit, what that stadium would be like, and kind of the French giving nearly two hooters per supporter. So we're definitely aware that there will be a lot of noise over there, and being the first game of the tournament for us as well, there'll be a lot of external noise around that game. But I guess we're kind of focusing within our own camp. We know that we have each other's backs on and off the pitch, so it's just about our preparations. We will obviously look at them, look at what we want to target, but it's about us, and it's about our training identity, as I said, and just how we're going to showcase that on the pitch.
Obviously, France will be looking to be contenders for this championship as well. They have a very strong pack, as we've seen last year and throughout the internationals as well. How are you going to have you looked at targeting that pack, or are you looking at maybe doing a bit more tire them out sort of strategy?
Yeah, definitely. We have lots of pace in our backs and also in our pack as well. So we're aware that if we kind of move them around a bit, that they might tire. So for us, it's kind of identifying the space, drawing them where we want to draw them, and then just executing and manipulating it for our advantage. So if we can maybe get it to the edges, we know how to set up. We know how we want to play our phases off that. So it's kind of just sticking to the game plan, getting set early to give us the best opportunities to manipulate that and find those spaces. And as I said, yeah, just firing those shots and absolutely competing as well. We know that they're of a big pack, and they know that too, so they're going to want to use that. So I guess it's just fronting up and being very destructive when we are in defence, knowing that yes, they will absolutely probably have a purple patch, but as I said, being destructive, both line out, set piece, and just open defensive play as well, just shutting it down.
You can hear more of that interview with Emer Corrie from Stephen by becoming an Off the Ball member. Now, finally, the so-called DuPont Law could be on its last legs in rugby. World Rugby has announced its plans to recommend changes to their law number 10, which would eliminate what they've described as kick tennis. It's become a staple of top-tier rugby as teams kicked to quickly move players back on side. A trial adjusting the DuPont Law is in place this year in Super Rugby, meaning players must be put on side by a kicker running past them. World Rugby is also looking at removing the option of a scrum at a free kick in an effort to speed up the game. The so-called croc roll at the ruck will also be removed in an effort to curtail the amount of knee injuries in particular that the practice has brought about. That's it for today's Rugby Daily. Don't forget to subscribe to the OTB Rugby feed to keep this podcast coming to you free of charge Monday to Friday. My name is Richie McCormack. I'll be back with more Rugby Daily for you tomorrow. Till then, thanks for listening.